Grace Lutheran Church, we welcome our visitors with us this morning. The order of service is found in your bulletin. A couple of brief announcements. Beginning Tuesday evening at 7 o'clock, we'll be starting our starting up our Tuesday night Bible study again, where we study the readings for the next week in preparation for the service next Sunday. It's a great time, and I invite all of you to join us Tuesday night at 7 o'clock in the social hall. Also, we're looking for a couple of volunteers to sign up to go to the Thursday night market in downtown Grass Valley as part of our capital campaign fundraiser. There's a sign-up sheet out there. There is a glaring blank spot for this Thursday night, so get your pin out and put your name down, please. Also, the call committee will be meeting this morning at 11:30 after Bible study. And last but not least, a big word of thanks to everybody who made our seminary extension class such a success. All the people that housed the pastors, provided food and entertainment. It was a great time was had by all, and thank you very much for those of you who helped out so graciously. We start with hymn number 666.
The Holy Gospel according to St. Mark, the 6th chapter. The apostles returned to Jesus and told him all that they had done and taught, and he said to them, "Come away by yourselves to a desolate place and rest a while." For many were coming and going, and they had no leisure even to eat. And they went away in the boat to a desolate place by themselves. Now many saw them going and recognized them, and they ran there on foot from all the towns and got there ahead of them. When he went ashore, he saw a great crowd, and he had compassion on them, because they were like sheep without a shepherd. And he began to teach them many things. And when it grew late, his disciples came to him and said, "This is a desolate place, and the hour is now late. Send them away to go into the surrounding countryside and villages and buy for themselves something to eat." But he answered them, "You give them something to eat." And they said to them, "Shall we go and buy 200 denarii worth of bread and give it to them to eat?" And he said to them, "How many loaves do you have? Go and see." And when they had found out, they said, "Five and two fish." Then he commanded them to sit down in groups on the green grass. So they sat down in groups by hundreds and by fifties, and taking the five loaves and the two fish, he looked up to heaven and said a blessing, and broke the loaves and gave them to the disciples to set before the people. And he divided the two fish among them all. So they all ate and were satisfied. And they took up 12 baskets full of broken pieces and of the fish. And those who ate the loaves were 5,000 men. This is the gospel of the Lord. Grace, mercy, and peace be to you from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior, Jesus the Christ. Amen. We meditate this day on the words of the gospel text from St. Mark. When Jesus went ashore, he saw a great crowd, and he had compassion on them because they were like sheep without a shepherd. In the name of Jesus, Amen. They were like sheep without a shepherd. Could that be describing this congregation today? I pray not, because even though you do not have one whom God has specifically sent here at this time to care for you, to give you his gifts, to impart to you the means of grace, nevertheless, you continue on as a people of God because Christ the Good Shepherd has you in his sight. He has you in his compassionate sight. You see, when sheep are without a shepherd, they are easily scattered and wander into harm's way. When I was a little child, my grandfather farmed sheep, and it absolutely amazed me that he would whistle at nighttime, and the sheep way over there in the pasture someplace would lift up their heads, turn around, and then my grandfather would cry, "Come, sheep! Come, sheep!" And they came. Now, I thought that was pretty special, and I thought it would be great to have that kind of power over sheep. So I taught myself how to whistle. And I would whistle, and I would look out, and the sheep would lift their head. And I would yell out, "Come, sheep! Come, sheep!" And they went back to eating grass. Now, there is a reason I told you that story. Because they knew the voice of their shepherd, the voice of their compassionate shepherd, the one who fed them and cared for them, even as the Lord Jesus in his compassion taught the people about the kingdom of God, proclaiming that the kingdom of God was among them, in their midst. And so too, we have a compassionate shepherd, one who cares for us, one who sees to it that his church is structured between proclaimers and hearers. And the proclaimers are taught by God what to say and how to say it. And the hearers, as I used to tell our kindergarten students in Grace San Mateo, that is why God gave us two ears and only one mouth, so that when we come into his presence, we primarily listen to him speak to us. And so today, Jesus speaks to us. And he speaks to us from the words of the gospel text, and he says, "Come ye yourselves apart and rest a while." Rest is important. It is important for both body and soul because God loves and cares for his creation. He created Adam to work, and he designs for our first parents a day of rest. The scriptures record that he comes to commune with them, not just on that day of rest, but sometimes daily. All humanity needs rest and rejuvenation, both for the body and for the soul. Yet for many today, we are so busy resting that we have no time for resting with God. And so we too oftentimes find ourselves restless. When we do not rest with God, we have no time to hear his voice. That is why we sometimes complain after our vacation that we need a vacation from our vacation because we haven't really been resting. And so Jesus invites his disciples to come with him to a desolate place, as he oftentimes did, there to commune with his Father, to receive encouragement from the words and voice of his Father regarding his ministry and mission to God's people. There is a necessity for ongoing rest in God and in his Word. He invites, "Come all you who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Rest from the burden of your sins. Rest from the burden of sin and its turmoil upon the world. Rest from your sicknesses, your illnesses, your griefs, your pain, your loss, your sorrows. Rest from the cause of sin in the world, Satan. Because we are his creation, we have a need to be connected with God. Saint Augustine said, "Our hearts are restless until they rest in God." Now, I submit to you this day that rest is best understood as quiet contemplation, listening to the voice of God. What voice or whose voice do you listen to? Oftentimes we are tempted to listen to what we want to hear. And so we tune in our television and radios to those people who think like we think, because we don't want any other voices perhaps clouding our certainty of what we know and what we know. But the problem with that is we don't know what we know that way. That is why we oftentimes chafe when the Lord chastens us. Or we sometimes literally pull the wool over our own eyes, trying to fool ourselves into thinking that what we want to believe is truth and right. Listen now to what the voice of your good shepherd says. "I lay down my life for the sheep." Now, Jesus does this because he is compassionate. I have to admit that I was amazed this week once again when I saw how hospitable the Lord has trained this congregation to be, as you cared for those who came into your midst for a week of rest and relaxation with the word of our Lord. Jesus speaks of laying down his life for the sheep. He does so because this is his compassionate way of bringing you back into the kingdom of God, even as in compassion he taught the people because they were like sheep without a shepherd, and he fed them because their bodies needed food. Jesus, the good shepherd, lays down his life for the sheep, not only to ward off and destroy the wolf, but also so that he might be food for the sheep to eat and live. You see, the laying down of his life benefits sheep in two ways. First, by turning the wolf, which is death, the devil, and anything else that threatens to bring us down and make us lose hope. And secondly, the life that Jesus lays down benefits you by being food that you cannot live without, and the food and drink upon which you live. In short, we call that the gospel, the good news that Jesus Christ entered into this sin-fallen world for you and all sinners. The good news that he carries your burdens, your sicknesses, your illnesses to the cross, and there pays the penalty for all of that sin in the world. He takes your sorrows, your sicknesses, your grieving into the tomb, and there it rests, being buried with Christ, never to rise again. This is what Jesus, your good shepherd, does. And that is what makes him not just a hired hand, not just someone who comes and sees the wolf and runs away, but a shepherd, the good shepherd. The good shepherd that lays down his life for the sheep so that he might offer his body and blood as a sacrament for them. You see, in this way, your Lord saves and delivers you both by dying your death and by satisfying your hunger and thirst for righteousness with his own body. It is good for all who labor and are heavy laden in this daily life, who like sheep have gone astray, that you should hear and receive again and again what was promised you in your baptism: rest in Jesus. Rest from the consequences of your old nature. Rest from the accusations of Satan toward your restlessness. You haven't done enough. You're not good enough. You shouldn't be here. Why are you pretending you're so good? We both know you're such a sinner. That is how Satan accuses. And your good shepherd gives you rest from those accusations. And what is your response to such a shepherd? Your thanksgiving is to take heart. To take heart in your Lord's death and receive his good gifts. Your confession is to say, I cannot live without him. I cannot live without his cleansing of me in the water of baptism and the words of absolution. I cannot live without receiving that body and that blood given and shed for me. The Good Shepherd has placed you into his body here, maybe not from that baptismal font for many of us, but from a baptismal font with water and the Word, making us part of his flock. How privileged you are this day that the Good Shepherd does not stop there, but speaks to you his Word, even from paltry lips and failing tongues like mine. For that is what your Lord has done for you. He has borne your impatience and your hardships and your death so that you might become one filled with his patience and his life. He bore your sin in his and death in his body on the cross with patience, not lashing out at those who threatened him, but willingly laying down his life for the benefit of the sheep, for you, his sheep. With his baptism, with his word, with his supper, he enables you to bear with patience your own crosses, your own sickness and death. He gives you the power to bear unexplainable evil that come upon you and whatever troubles your sins or the sins of others might bring upon you. To follow Christ is to walk in his footsteps. This means nothing more than to feed on Christ as he lays down his life for you. In this way, Jesus then works his own patience and salvation in you and through you. Because your good shepherd is for you, because he has compassion upon you, his compassion extends through you all the way to the cross and beyond, whether you are a wayward shepherd or a lost and wandering sheep. The Lord comes here in this place today with compassion toward you. He has cleansed you in water and word, and now he nourishes you for holy living, inviting you to be cleansed through repentance, forgiveness, and feeding you with that perfect sacrifice which strengthens you as you walk through this valley of tears. Now your life is a reflection of Christ, who lives in you. As you walk in this life, his compassion is toward you and all his children, and that compassion invites you to rest in him who has already prepared a place for you to dwell with him forever. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Now may the peace of God, which surpasses all human understanding, keep your hearts and minds in true faith in this Christ Jesus unto life everlasting. Amen.